Good evening. This is Heartstock Radio, and I'm your host, Carol Murphy. We're here. Clark Grant is manning the board, and he has gotten us back on track. Yay. And we are moving forward. We have a great guest this evening. I cannot wait for you to hear what she is up to. Cynthia Daly, and she is a professor at California State University, Chico. And she's doing some pretty amazing things in the field of agriculture. And remember also, if you'd like to contact us here at Heartstock, you can email us at heartstockradio@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook. And just a moment, we will be back with Cynthia, and she will share her story. This is Heartstock Radio. I'm your host, Carol Murphy. Our guest this evening is Cindy Daly, and she is the director for the Center for Regenerative Agriculture and Resilient Systems. Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for being our guest. Can you tell our listeners just a little brief intro of what that is? That's kind of a mouthful, regenerative agriculture and resilient systems. What is that, and what do you do there?
Well, the Center for Regenerative Agriculture is an organization that's really dedicated to transitioning the paradigm in production agriculture to a system where we're actually building soil and soil organic matter and working to sequester more carbon, pull it out of the atmosphere and fix it, you know, into the soil where it belongs. So that's our goal. That's kind of our focus. And it's something that, you know, we think is the future of farming around the globe.
And when did you join the faculty there at Chico State? And what did you do before that?
Well, I joined the faculty back in 1998, so I've been there for quite some time. At that point in time, the farm was a pretty conventional type farm, and we've evolved and we've grown quite a bit at the university farm. At this stage, we've got 100 acres. It's actually certified organic. And we've got 8 different sites that are on the farm that are really devoted to demonstrating and researching regenerative agriculture. Yeah, I've been at the campus now about almost 22 years. So things have definitely changed quite a bit over that period of time.
And what did you do before that?
I was born and raised really in Illinois. So production agriculture is my passion and it's really my background. And I did my undergraduate at the University of Illinois. And then I came out to California and did my graduate work at the University of California, Davis. And started working for California State University at Chico. So the kind of thing at the farm, the family farm, there's only so much farm. There were 6 kids. And so some of us had to move on and do other things. And my parents really instilled a very strong commitment and passion for production agriculture. So I made it my career and my life's work.
And was your family always involved in farming? Was this something that your grandparents and your great-grandparents? Tell us a little bit about that and maybe some of the influences that made you want to stay in the field of agriculture.
Right. Well, both of my parents were born and raised in agriculture. So it's the kind of thing that I guess is in our blood. I tell people that I'm homozygous for farming because both my parents came from farming and were involved in farming. Actually, I'm probably 4th generation in that neighborhood, but, you know, it's a German Catholic community and everybody that immigrated from Germany kind of located in this particular region. And and they were farmers when they were in Germany, and they came to the New World and came to that area in Illinois and became farmers. So you'll see that just about everybody in that region where I grew up are German Catholic farmers.
That is pretty homozygous, as you said. So let's talk a little bit about regenerative agriculture. Maybe we should define it first, and if you could tell us, you know, what drew you to that area specifically within the wide world, all of the different things that you could have done in the field of ag.
All right. Well, that's a really good question. The way that we define regenerative agriculture as any form of production ag that actually builds and enhances and enlivens soil. So soil is really our foundation, and we really need to nourish it. We have lost about 50% of our soil carbon over the last, you know, several decades, you know, just based on the way in which, you know, we're farming currently. So we know that we have to change that because, you know, it won't be long before we don't have, you know, any carbon left in the soil if we continue at the rate that we are. So there is that need that has to happen. And as you build, and you know, carbon in the soil, and as you build the biology in soil, you also build in water holding capacity. And that's probably the other, you know, brilliant thing about the regenerative ag production practices is that it really enhances water use efficiency. So we're improving the way in which the soil holds on to water. And that will make, you know, ranches and farms a lot more resilient going into the future. So our hope is that we can improve water use efficiency by altering the way that we farm. So we're kind of the next generation. We have had for the last several decades a big push towards sustainable agriculture. But unfortunately, you know, like I said, with so much soil degradation and, you know, so much depletion, we really don't want to sustain a degraded system. So the new terminology is really geared around regenerating our soils and building that soil profile so that we do have a future, that we do create more resilient farms, you know, both with respect to water and water use efficiency, with respect to soil fertility and economic viability for farms and ranches. So we definitely see it as, you know, as a way forward.
In regenerative versus sustainable, it almost sounds to me like what you're saying is that we have to get back to a healthy place before we can sustain that. And
that's right.
That all starts with the soil. But there is much, much more to it than just focusing solely on the soil. Or am I correct?
Well, you would, in that, you know, that the regenerative movement really extends, you know, into social, socioeconomic realms as well. We feel as though the current economic policies, food policies, farm policies in the country are really not very supportive of farmers in the farming community. And by improving and enriching on-farm viability, you know, we're going to rebuild those rural communities and that rural network that we used to have at. And that's another component of regenerative agriculture. And that's the exciting part, is that it really plays to the social aspect of farms and trying to make them, you know, the independent entrepreneurs that they once were.
As opposed to big corporations controlling huge swaths.
Right, right. Exactly. Our current food system is really geared around cheap food policies. And, you know, that in many respects are, you know, our politicians pandering to, you know, the consumers, which, you know, are their constituencies. They, you know, it seems on the surface a good thing to continue to, you know, provide cheap food to people. So, you know, in the States here, what, we spend less than 10% of our disposable income on food. And the unintended ramifications of that, though, you know, are our ecological systems have been degraded because we're not putting a value on soil loss, soil degradation, soil erosion. We're not putting a value on the amount of greenhouse gas that's being emitted, you know, every time we turn the soil with deep tillage or inappropriate manure management. I mean, there's all these unintended consequences that come along with this cheap food policy that we've had here in the States. So that's something that we're hoping to address with this change, this paradigm shift in production agriculture. It's not that we, you know, necessarily want consumers to pay that much more for food, but we think that food really needs to be valued in a way that it once was. As we deplete our soils in this monoculture kind of factory approach to our farming mechanisms, we've lost a lot of nutrition. So, you know, you basically have to eat more vegetables today than you did 50 years ago because, you know, we've had so much soil depletion. And if it's not in the soil, it won't be in the crops that are being grown on that soil. So we have had some decline in the nutrient density of our food.
So we're at that halfway point, and we're going to take a quick little break. But when we come back, maybe you could talk a little bit more about how exactly we're regenerating the soil, you know, the nuts and bolts Sure. about how farmers go about doing that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's a good question.
Excellent. This is Heartstock, and I'm your host, Carol Murphy, and we will be right back with Cynthia in just a moment. This is Heartstock Radio, and I'm your host, Carol Murphy. We're speaking with Cindy Daly. She is a professor for environmental literacy at CSU Chico. She's also the director of the Center for Regenerative Agriculture and Resilient Systems. Hi again.
Hi.
So we were just kind of having a little chat, and we want to definitely get this over the airwaves. How do we go about rebuilding our depleted soils?
There's several mechanisms by which we can actually start rebuilding those soils. First of all, you know, the whole issue of just low disturbance. And there's no-till, from that perspective, you just don't turn the soil over. And that's an important consideration. Every time you turn soil, you like with a moldboard plow or with a deep disc, or you're basically opening up the soil and causing a lot of oxidation to take place. And so we're losing a lot of CO2 when that happens. And, you know, when every time you turn the soil, you're also disrupting all of the soil microbiology that's there. The soil is a living, breathing organism in and of itself. And it doesn't want to be disturbed. It would be the same thing as if, you know, somebody went through your home and completely turned it upside down. So that's what we want to try and avoid. We want to continue to build that soil microbiome in a way that is compatible with nature. So no-till is one of those production practices that really should be featured. And in it, you know, there are different production systems where that works better than others. You know, it works pretty well in row crop, but it's pretty difficult to do a no-till system in veg, in market vegetables. I mean, we have seen, there are farms where that's being done. and they're doing a great job, but it's pretty difficult to do on a large scale. So in addition to no-till, there's also minimum till or strip till. And so then in that situation, we're only going to be tilling just minimally in order to make a seed bed or to put seedlings in, that type of thing. Other things that we can do in order to rebuild the soil is biomass, putting tons of biomass back into the soil. All of that is going to be food, you know, for the livestock that we have in the soil, the biology. So we can do that in a variety of different ways. We can do that with compost and with other like inoculants that help revitalize that soil microbiome. We can grow cover crops.
So when you say inoculum, I just want to make sure we don't lose anybody. When you say inoculum, you're talking about taking the healthy microbes, the little tiny microscopic organisms that make the soil healthy, and introducing that back into the soil. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, a lot of what we do kills soil microbiology. And so the whole regenerative approach would be putting that biology back into the soil and then creating a habitat where it can thrive and grow. And it's really about diversity. We want a very, very diverse population of microbes and fungi so that they can do what they need to do there in the soil, which is really work symbiotically with the root tips, the root hairs, the roots of our plants. And that exchange, that symbiotic relationship that goes on there, is really quite magical. So the plants are secreting these exudates out of the root hairs that are feeding the microbes and the microbiome and the fungi. And then they're feeding the plant. So it is a reciprocal symbiotic type relationship that we have in the soil if we allow it, you know, to happen. Lots of ways to destroy
just
that.
Working with nature, it sounds like, working with the natural systems.
You got it. Exactly. Anything that we can do to kind of mirror or mimic Mother Nature, you know, will benefit from that. So the trick is to, you know, understand your system, your ecological system well enough that you can, you know, not only enhance the natural habitat, but grow food at the same time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, therein lies the challenge.
Talk to us a little bit about some success stories working with farmers and how you've been able to impact their bottom line and what they're able to do.
Well, that's a great question. I think where we have had our success is in our educational programs and in bringing people to this new paradigm. That's the first thing that has to happen is the light needs to go on. And then they need to be asking those kinds of questions. You know, well, you know, can this work for me? And will this be a practice that I can implement and still be able to function in a way that I need to function, you know, and still provide to my family and grow crops. So we've been working hard on that piece of it. You know, the science is pretty well there. We know what practices promote soil health. Adaptation, getting more farmers, more ranchers to adopt these practices is really where it's at as far as, you know, we're concerned. So that's our program. Our program is to help that transition. And we have our mentor farmers, several of them you'll find on the website that really demonstrate these positive practices and how they work for them on farm. We have several walnut growers that are using cover crops in their production system and have had tremendous results with respect to reducing their input costs, because as you build that soil biology and you feed your soil, you really don't have to put as many fertilizers or, you know, external inputs into your production system because Mother Nature is providing it. So that's the beautiful thing, you know, about it when these folks, you know, when the light goes on and they see, you know, the beauty in it. So, you know, not only are they seeing reduced input costs, but in many respects, because we've got better water utilization now in the soil, because we have more biomass there holding water, there's less irrigation costs as well. So we're more water efficient. And so ultimately, then the byproduct from those two things is the farmer is actually more resilient economically. They're making more money. They're spending less and putting more money into their pocket.
There's a bit of confusion in my own mind, and I'm just going to say, you know, other people might be like me too. We keep hearing this mantra of, you know, plant-based diet, we need to stop producing beef and any kind of animal food protein. And my background really conflicts with that. So can you help us really clearly understand the role of livestock in this whole picture?
Right. Well, you know, livestock really complete the picture in many respects, you know, especially, you know, in our rangelands and you know, 50% of our lands, our agricultural lands here in California in particular, are in rangelands. Appropriate grazing on those lands is like essential. I mean, we've seen the wildfires and what happens when we allow that fuel to build up. I mean, it creates a tinderbox, especially under climate change where, you know, we've got lower humidity and we've got less water, not only in the soil, but also in the system. So the slash that's left there on the forest floor and, you know, in these oak savannas create fuel hazard or fire hazard. Livestock really help us reduce that fuel load and that fire hazard. They're also very, very beneficial on the land when they're appropriately managed. I mean, I've seen cattle managed poorly, and I've seen cattle managed exceptionally well. And when they're well managed, they can be a real environmental tool to help us build soil organic matter, to help us sequester carbon, and really build our rangelands into the carbon sponge that they were always meant to be. So ecologically, they can be a real tool. They really do revitalize areas, just, you know, not only from the grazing, the active grazing, but also from the animal impact. You know, pushing that residue into the soil surface really does a real service there. We're putting all that biomass in connection with the soil biology, and it's feeding that soil biology, and it's building the organic matter in the soil. We're adding biomass back there so that we've got some food for the bacteria and the fungi.
Mm-hmm. Let's change things a little bit and talk about the ag programs there at Chico State and what you're doing to raise the next generation of farmers and ranchers. How have you seen that change over the time that you've been there?
You know, it has changed. I think the emphasis is more, you know, this direction towards, you know, ecological understanding and really, you know, having a sense for how we produce food, you know, together with the natural world. Our program at Chico, we, you know, it's mandatory that our students, you know, take an agroecology course so that they really understand how it is that, you know, agriculture interacts with the natural systems and the natural cycles. And that, I think, is a really important piece for farmers that are going to be farming into the future. You know, they have to be able to adapt and see, you know, the change in their ecological landscapes. And if they're very astute, they're seeing that, you know, if their soil is degrading, if their soil is going backwards on soil carbon and soil organic matter, that is a non-sustainable system that is going to have to change in order that we have a future for, you know, society, their family, for our kids.
For everyone, right? All the people that need to eat their products. So how might our listeners find you if they want to continue this conversation, Cindy?
Well, we have a pretty active website that's educational primarily, and I'm listed there, but I don't know if I can give out my email address or not, but you can certainly find me. I'm easy to find on the College of Ag website or at the Center for Regenerative Ag and Resilient Systems with California State University at Chico. Mm. So it's not hard to find me.
Heartwarming. And we've been speaking with Dr. Cynthia Daly. She is a 2018 Common Threads Award recipient and officially one of my heroes now. Thank you for doing what you're doing.
And I'm yours. I really appreciate the work that you do. And we have to have kinds of programs out there so we can, you know, elevate the consciousness. So appreciate what you do.
This is Heartstock, and we shall see you next week. Thanks for listening. Peace.
And on the sign it said, no trespass.
Heartstock Radio is a production of KBMF 102.5 Butte America Radio. Hear our live programs every Friday at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time via livestream at butteamericaradio.org.
That's